And the Bible is plain on what we have to do in order to be saved. We have to hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We have to repent of our sins. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, the Bible says. Also, we know that we have to confess. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And then we have to be immersed. We have to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Over and over again in the book of Acts, when we read about a conversion, we read about someone asking the question what they have to do in order to be saved, baptism is always a part of that. Just like Philip and the eunuch, we have to go down into the water. We have to be immersed. We have to be buried with him in the watery grave of baptism, and then we become a new creature. We become a new person. We begin a new life. We wear a new name. We are a Christian day in and day out, every day of our life. So in just a minute, we're going to encourage you to become a Christian if you're not. And hopefully that reminded those of us that are Christians, it reminded us of what we did and why we did that. So that's got the obey God out of the way. Now we have to worship God. We need to be eager to worship God and worship God in spirit and in truth. And you know, unfortunately today in the time that we live, we feel like we're competing too much with the world. What I mean by that? I mean that the church is in competition with the world because so many people today feel like they have to be entertained in all that they do. It has to be a reason why I go to church. It has to be a reason why I go worship God. And many people have that on their heart. Many people have that on their minds. It's almost like we've got to be more fun than a ball game. We've got to be more fun than a movie. We've got to be more fun than whatever you want to put there. We have to compete with that with a lot of people. Therefore, if we don't, people leave. Then our seats become empty. But I know that you're not that way. I know that you're here to worship God in spirit and in truth, and we have an obligation to God. We've been commanded. We have example and command from God that we come together on the first day of the week. When we come together on the first day of the week, we come here to break bread. We come here to remember Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Now, that's different from a lot of our denominational friends. They do it maybe once a month, once a quarter, or even twice a year. They do it on Easter and on Christmas. But as we look and we study and we read the New Testament, we find an example that they came together on the first day of the week, every first day of the week, and they came for one purpose, and that purpose was to worship God and to remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus through partaking of the Lord's Supper. So we do that on the first day of the week. We also find by command and example that when they came together, they sang praises unto God. You know, I think singing is something that we take for granted sometimes, something that we don't think too much about, that we just go through the motions, and someone, Nick or Jacob, whoever's leading the singing, they get up, they announce a song, we look up and see it on the board, we know the words, and we utter those words out of our mouth, and we're singing. Verses. When I went to the Philippines, I know that I told you this, but to God be the glory, I've never heard that song sung with as much enthusiasm as I did on a Sunday morning over in the Philippines when those brethren were sitting on bamboo pews and they lifted their heads up because they didn't have song books and they sang to God be the glory as loud as they possibly could. It put chill bumps on me because the enthusiasm that they had as they sang. And we know that we're singing praises to God. And I hope that we never leave or lose that in our heart, that when we're singing, we're thinking about the praises that we're offering to God. And then we offer up prayer to God. Don't raise your hand, but how many of y'all pray every day? I'm sure that y'all would have raised your hand. How many of y'all pray two times, three times, four times? How many of y'all pray without ceasing in your life? I hope that all of you will say, I pray without ceasing. And as much as our private prayer life is important to us, and we all have that, and I hope that you do, you know, there's something a little bit special about coming together. And when we have a prayer like Dale led for us a few minutes ago, when he comes up in front of us and he leads that prayer for us, that I'm thinking what he is saying and we're saying those things to God. And when we get done, we feel like, and this is a good crowd tonight, I feel like there's, I'm going to guess, y'all can see whether I'm right or wrong here in a little while. I'm going to say we're at 63 tonight, be my guess. At 63 people come together and we're all praying together. Nick, I just feel like that prayer travels. It travels. And it travels from here and it goes and God hears that prayer. And we know that that's part of worship, that we're commanded and we're instructed that we are to pray to God. As Nara said this morning, when before we give back to God in the contribution, I forgot exactly what he said, but it caught my ear when he said it. I thought that's the way we ought to say it. And we have an opportunity when the collection plate is passed around to give back to God because we're so thankful for all that he's given us. And then we study from God's word. And folks, that's how we worship God. Now, we do that in a certain way. We do it in our heart. We do it in our mind. We do it in spirit, and we do it in truth. And we're offering the very best praise and the very best glory that we can from God or to God. But then that brings us to the third point. We obey, we worship, and we evangelize. And folks, I want to challenge you tonight. I debated about whether to stand up here or stand down there tonight. I kind of wanted to stand down there and do more like a class than I did preaching tonight because I've been thinking about this for some time, this sermon or this idea. This is where we need to excel. And all I know to do is just tell the truth. This congregation needs to be going out and we need to be evangelizing more. We need to reach our family, we need to reach our friends, and we need to reach our neighbors. And I'm preaching to myself. Nick and I talk about this some, and sometimes when I go in his office, I'll tell him I've been preaching to myself all week, and then I come and I will give that lesson the following Sunday. But we need to be active in talking to people about Jesus. We don't need to be ashamed of the truth. This morning in my sermon, I talked about what Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And you know, that's what helps us to evangelize. If we'll think about what Paul said and we understand that I'm not ashamed of it, that it's what saved my soul or it's what's saving my soul, and therefore I want to talk about it. Now, the scary side of this is all who have not obeyed the gospel are lost. Do y'all believe that? That all that do not obey the gospel is lost? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 through 9 says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Three great facts that we need to understand. Number one, people are lost without the gospel. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear that good news, and we need to be telling the whole world about Jesus. Matthew or Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Christians are the only messengers that we have today. If we're not going to go tell about the gospel, who is? It takes every one of us sitting in here to spread the gospel. Mark 16 and verse 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's our obligation. It's our duty. How many times do you have to bring it up to someone? I don't know. As many opportunities that you have. David and I were talking last week about some conversations that he had had, and I think I mentioned some conversations that I have, and I forgot which of us said this. I think we both kind of agreed to it. Sometimes it gets a little awkward because you know where you're going to go in the conversation. But folks, it doesn't change us that we talk to people about the gospel, and we do it with as much love as we possibly can. So how do we do it? How do we make that determination that we're going to be a congregation? You know, in the announcements tonight, I mentioned that let this congregation be a congregation of one that's known for giving. And we're going to have these food baskets, and we're going to give them away at Thanksgiving. And maybe people will, after several years, will recognize that. And I say, well, I'll tell you what, that Tresman congregation, they sure do help out people in need. But how do we evangelize? How do we tell? Well, let me start by saying this. There's some things that hinder us. There's some things that hinder us from being able to evangelize or to share the gospel with someone. We have to obviously be here. Not only do we have to be here, something that I mentioned this morning in my sermon, we have to be students of the Bible. We need to be a people. We need to be a person that we can defend the truth. I think I told you one time I was teaching a young adult class. It was not here. It was another congregation. And it was people that were in their 20s and probably early 30s. Maybe from 18 to 30 was the class range that I was teaching. And I walked in, and Nick even said something today about my teaching. I said, I think people pay attention when I'm teaching because I scare them. They don't know when I'm going to call their name or what's going to happen. But I walked in a class one time of that age group, pretty good-sized class, and I said, today we're going to take a test. You know how people do when you bring up tests. Oh, I'm not very good at tests. Well, this will be a simple test is what I said. This is a simple test. This is things that you've been taught and you've read your whole life. Matter of fact, you've heard it probably hundreds, if not thousands of times from the pulpit. So we're going to take a test on the basic principles of the Bible. And I give that test. I'll never forget the reaction when we started grading the test, because I didn't embarrass anyone. I let them grade their own test. And the reaction that I got when we would go around and people would read the question and then give the answer. You want to know what was on the test? What are the five acts of worship? What do I have to do to be saved? What does the bread represent? What does the blood represent? Give me a book, chapter, and verse dealing with these things. That was the test that I give. One thing that hinders us is lack of study on our part. We need to be students of the Bible. You know, worldliness keeps us from spreading the gospel as well. One thing that hurts me, that hurts you, hurts anyone that we want to talk about, if we're the type of person that hot and cold. There's one day that I'm going to live for Christ, and there's one day that I'm not. Today I'm going to go out and I'm going to cuss like a sailor, and tomorrow I'm going to lead a prayer. Today I'm going to go out and drink, and tomorrow I wouldn't touch it for anything. You see what I'm getting at? The way that we live, that can hinder us. Matter of fact, if you turn to Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. One of the things that hinders us in our evangelism could be that we're lukewarm. We've got to be passionate about what we believe. We've got to be a person that likes to talk to someone about Jesus. Well, finally tonight, what is it that we need to do when we're thinking about obeying God, we're talking about worshiping God, and we're talking about evangelizing? We have to see who we need to reach. Several years ago, it was here. I remember because I looked in Jay's Bible the other day, and Jay had cut it out, and he had taped it in front of his Bible. And unfortunately, dummy me, I didn't bring it with me. Several years ago, I put an article in the bulletin here, and I think I even preached a sermon on it. I don't remember what year it was, but I talked about evangelism and whatever year was coming up. I said, there's five things that we need to do. And for the life of me, I don't remember all five of them. Some of y'all may have it or remember it. I don't know. But one of them was that we choose three or four or five people, whatever it is, that we want to talk to about the gospel. We make a list. These are the ones that I'm going after. These are the ones I'm going to reach. And then we pray for those people. We pray for the lost every day, and we pray for them by name. We invite them to worship service at least once a month, I think it was, and we at least get someone to come, a visitor at least come with us, maybe once a month or once a quarter. I forgot how it went. But my point is tonight is that we've got a plan, that this is what I want to do. Who do we reach? In your mind right now, make a list. Wednesday night, I come in class late. I worked and come back from Jamestown, I think, Wednesday, and I was late walking in. And I don't know what the conversation was in class. I can guess by what I'm fixing to tell you, but I think my dad made this statement. I was sitting in the back. If everybody knew that Jesus was coming Friday, the building would be full. Something along that line is what was said. If we knew that the end of time was going to be this week, the building would be sitting full tonight. So, let me ask you this question. If we knew that the end of time was near, make a list in your mind of the top three or top five people that you would want to go tell about Jesus. Who are those people that you would want to persuade more than anyone else to be right with God? Pray for those people. Make an effort to talk to those people. Figure out a plan and work that plan. Aryan Christians, that's the people we need to reach. The text we read this morning, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, it would have been better to have never known than to know and fall away, to go back to where we come from. That's the people we need to reach. Those who are lost, those who never known the gospel, those who never learned anything or obeyed the gospel, those are the people that we need to reach. I'll read a couple stories for you, then I'll close. Stories are found in W.A. Bradfield's Sermon Outline book, and I've been quoting him a lot lately. I found this book, and I keep it beside my bed, and I've been reading it at night. And in the back of his book, he's got maybe 40 or 50 illustrations that he used in sermon outlines. Here's one. It's entitled, "He Had Not Done Anything." A prominent member of the church where a certain preacher held a meeting quit soon after the meeting. 20 years later, the same preacher returned for another meeting. He went to see the man and he urged him to return, repent, and get back to working for the Lord as he used to do. The man said, "I have not done anything for which to repent." Do nothing is as great as a sin. It is no greater sin to preach false doctrine than it is not to preach the truth. Doing nothing is a problem as well. So when we think about our list, and I know that hopefully you've made a list in your mind, you'll think about those people, you'll pray about those people, and that this congregation, with each one of us, that we'll do our part to grow this church here at Treslin. Next Sunday, be Veterans Day. It's a good opportunity for you to invite people to come. This is going to be a worship service next Sunday that, number one, we're going to bring honor and we're going to bring glory to God because that is our focus. We want to do and say everything that brings glory to God. But you can invite your family and your friends to come next Sunday, as not only will we be honoring and recognizing God, we'll be honoring and recognizing Jesus, and at the end of the service, we're going to recognize our veterans. It's just a special opportunity to make a special effort to invite someone to come. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian and you've fallen away, you need to respond to the Lord's invitation in any way. Our prayer is that you will come while we sing.